To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
36-1067. Congrats, you're winning two tickets to Leonard Skinner. It's the Leonard Skinner Foreigner Double Trouble Double Vision Tour. Saturday, July 25th, Jiffy Lube Live. Tickets on sale now. For tickets and more event information, go to thefandc.com/events, courtesy of Live Nation. The show's out and about for a Friday field trip. We are kicking it and resting at Craft House, so come on out today. And get ready for week 14 with us.
Beautiful location out here in Reston. We also want you to know that we're sponsored by the law firm of Condor and Morad. They can help you do a lot of things like draft your last will and testament, set up a living trust, put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com. And be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
We will be covering the Commanders, some college football, the NFL, all coming up on this Blitz. But we've got to start with the hottest team in town, winners of six in a row, your Washington Capitals. Boy, have they been rolling. John Walton has been on the call. John, I got to ask you how you're feeling.
How you feeling, dude?
Last time we played a highlight from you, another guy was calling the game, and it was actually you.
It was dreadful the other night. Yeah, as good as the team was going, I was in really rough shape the other night, but a lot better today. Yeah, it was. There's no feeling in sports, the play-by-play, when you know the light's coming on, and you know it's like, yep, this is going to suck tonight. So, there we were.
How do you sound so good now?
Know, got through it.
What have you done?
Today, Anaheim, I'm good to go tonight.
What steroids have you're like? Amon-Ra St. Brown. Like, you're back, man.
Miracle
it's
Hill.
Been 3 days. What happened over these 48 hours?
I've been a lot of water, a lot of Advil. I never felt bad. That was the thing. You know, everybody is, you know, not everybody, but a lot of guys on the team and on the staff have had this just creeping throat crud. I'm like, oh, I got to stay away from that. And then lo and behold, in L.A., Beauvillier scored in the third period. I was like, oh, God, this is not good. And of course, it's a back-to-back, right? So we're flying to San Jose, and I'm telling Kenny, I was like, I am in serious, serious trouble for tomorrow. And it was terrible. Yeah, I mean, it was just Kenny got me. I was on his back, and he drugged me through as much as I could. But a lot of quiet yesterday, a little isolation, which wasn't awesome. But you know what? It was great to be back at the rink today and feeling pretty good for tonight.
Well, rightfully so, man. Well earned. It was literally, it sounded like your throat got in a fight with a gorilla and lost, man. Just, it was unbelievable. Yeah. But you sound like you now. And when you're calling games, you're calling a lot of Caps goals and a lot of wins. What's been different here, John, during this really good streak?
Well, they're getting the first goal, Danny, a lot. I mean, they've done that more than any team in the league. They've done it 20 times now. And, you know, there have been times even on the road trip where I'd look at, you know, the game against the Islanders, where LT had to be really good early because the Islanders kind of got the jump on them, but they still got the first goal and they kind of carried it from there. I thought Chucky did the same thing in San Jose where, you know, that could go a little differently if they didn't, come up with, you know, a couple of big saves early. And then once the first one went in, it seemed like San Jose was just done and they, you know, end up getting four in the first and that game was over pretty quick. So, I mean, I think all involved. I mean, I just, you know, getting a lot of offense, getting a lot of guys involved. The Ryan Leonard coming out party in San Jose, that's where you really would have wanted your throat to be good, by the way.
Gets two goals.
Two assists, and that second goal was just filthy. That was a fun one. So seeing some of his star power and getting the offense from other places. You've had a lot of guys on this trip that have had multi-point games. So it's not just one guy. It's not just Alex. It's not just, you know, the normal suspects. I mean, I thought it was funny. You know, Tom Wilson's led him in just about everything this year, but he wasn't even involved in the scoring the other night in San Jose. So that's probably a pretty good indication of what's happening here.
How much credit do you give for Leonard for getting this power play going? It just seems like he's been pretty invaluable.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think the move to power play one for him has been very good. And, I mean, the confidence. I was talking with Joe B. this morning a little bit about this. You know, you saw Leonard do these kinds of things for Boston College. You saw him do it for Team USA, but you really hadn't seen it yet at the NHL level until maybe the other night. And I think that's just a product of the confidence that he's got. Really good to see. And I think moving forward, that's, you know, I think he's only going to get better, guys. I mean, he was an eighth overall pick for a reason. He's such a good skater. He's got an unbelievable shot. And now he's got that swagger that, you know, I think we saw at those previous places that he played, but we hadn't really seen it at this level yet.
John, I really like Justin Sortif. I know he's banged up now. He's going to miss a little bit of time, but you've forgotten more hockey this morning than I'll ever know. But just watching the Caps my whole life, there's always someone in a playoff series against them that I hadn't heard much about that's like Justin Sortif, where he's everywhere on the ice, harassing you, not giving you any space, or seems to be in the right place at the right time, always getting a stick on the puck, always slowing down a rush, and is flying around the ice. I like that they've got this guy, and it's almost like you're not going to see a ton of point production, I don't feel like, even though he's been running some second-line stuff. But I just like having that asset because I want other teams and fan bases to feel the terror I felt my whole life.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I think hockey operations has done such a great job of being able to identify guys in other organizations. I mean, for Sortif, there just wasn't a lot of room in Florida,
right.
And he'd only played four NHL games. So what do you really know until you get him? But he's been great, and I agree with you. I mean, he goes right to the front of the net. He's a great skater, kind of a Swiss Army knife at, you know, the fourth line right wing, third line center, second line center. He's been all over the place. And being able to do that and do everything pretty well is an invaluable piece. And Spencer's always talked about he loves having a lot of guys that can do a lot of different things. And I don't know that there's anybody in the forward core that can do things more differently than he can, because it really has been fun to watch. There's a chance he might get in tonight from what we saw the morning skate here just wrapping up a little while ago. Not a lock that he's in, but I don't get the sense it's going to be long term, which is good, and hopefully we see him back in there pretty soon.
Well, John, thank you. Glad you're feeling better. Looking forward to your call of Caps hockey tonight right here on The Fan. We appreciate you.
Thanks, fellas.
Thank you, buddy.
Let's keep the Blitz moving. And to talk college football, our buddy Denton Day. We're actually going to talk to Bill Bender a little bit later on in the show from Sporting News. I want to ask him about James Madison University's chances to get into the college football playoff. But let's start there, Denton. Obviously, if you're a JMU Dukes fan listening in the area right now, you want Virginia to lose to Duke. If that happens, what are their chances to get in? What other help might they need?
They don't need help. If Virginia loses to Duke and they take care of business tonight, they're in. You'll get two group of five teams. You are not, and they should not, put a five-loss ACC champ in, especially a Duke team that doesn't exactly have a lot of really good wins. So if Duke beats Virginia in the ACC championship, James Madison should be in.
Okay, now what if Virginia wins that game? Is there any path?
I don't think so. I mean, unless the game tonight between Tulane and North Texas these, like, each quarterback, you know, break a leg. I mean, that's honestly what it's going to come down to. This game in the American is going to decide the top G5 representative, and then if there is an avenue from the ACC's lack of putting another ranked team in there outside of UVA, that's the only way I feel like James Madison will be able to get in.
And then before we move on from the Dukes, big news for them today is it is official. Billy Napier is going to be their head coach, former Florida Gators head man. They'd gone in a different direction with like guys like Bob Chesney, these ascending stars. This is a guy coming back from the SEC after it didn't work out. What do you think of the hire?
That's a huge move because that guy can recruit. You know, say what you want about his success rate in terms of winning games at Florida. He got a lot of five stars there. And I don't know that you're going to get a five-star to James Madison, but you'll be able to really recruit in the state of Virginia. It's going to be fun over the next couple of years watching him and James Franklin kind of go head-to-head to see who is going to end up with the best players in the state. I think a lot of those are going to go with James Franklin and Virginia Tech. But Billy Napier is a really, really good hire for James Madison if they want to continue to be a powerhouse in the Sun Belt.
Denton, what's at stake here, Georgia, Alabama, for each team?
Well, Georgia is fighting for a bye. You know, with Alabama, it's interesting, guys. If they lose, they're a three-loss team. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we think that the committee is going to value playing in a conference championship. And people are talking about, well, that's the precedent. Well, we've only seen 1 year of this 12-team format. And I don't know that how much they're going to value a loss in the conference championship for a team that already has two of them. So I do think Alabama at least runs the possibility of potentially being on the outside looking in if they, you know, get boat raced by Georgia. If it's close, I think you can say, well, you know, they already beat them once and it was close. It was a one score game. We'll let them in. But if Georgia does to Texas or does to Alabama what they did to Texas, I don't know that Alabama is going to get in. And that makes the committee's life a lot easier because then they can let Notre Dame and Miami in and feel good about themselves.
And that's where I was going to go. So who leapfrogs them if Alabama loses? I don't think a drubbing is in the works here, but if they lose, who could leapfrog them? How many teams?
It would be Notre Dame and Miami. Those are the only two. As much as Vanderbilt has been, they've gone on a whole media tour this week. And I get it. But, like, listen, you had 12 games to figure it out, and you couldn't do it. I don't know that you deserve a 13th one. So it would only be Miami and Notre Dame that can jump them, unless we see a scenario where BYU wins the Big 12, they get the auto bid in the Big 12, and then, you know, people, Texas Tech falls a little bit towards the wayside. But in terms of the teams that are not in right now, it's only Miami and Notre Dame.
And that's what I was going to ask about Texas Tech. If they lose, are they out, do you think?
No, they're in. It would just then push either Notre Dame or Bama out, and then they would not get a bye, correct.
What's the line right now for Ohio State and Indiana?
It's changed. It was 5.5 at the beginning of the week, and last I checked about an hour or two ago, it was 4. So it's come down 1.5. I think
what
that
do
means
you like
really
there?
Good things. I like Ohio State. I mean, I like this Indiana team a lot, but I like Ohio State. They're too talented.
Their defense is
we
so
haven't
good.
Seen them getting pushed, but they're just so good on defense, on offense. I mean, they have. If you can stop Jeremiah Smith, which feels, you know, very difficult, what are you going to do with Carnell Tate? And if you stop both of them, what are you going to do with the third guy that's waiting? Like, Ohio State is literally just loaded on offense. So unless they can find a way to manufacture pressure with 4 against Julian Sayin, I think Indiana is going to be just a little short. It's not going to be a blowout. I think they can play him tough, but they'll be just a little short.
If Indiana wins, though, this is not a question as much as just an observation. Wow.
Yep.
I mean, they will have gone 13-0. Cignetti will have the perfect season, the conference championship. Like, and we're talking about him as maybe one of the best coaches in America.
I mean, one of the very rare times where a guy who was really, really annoying at the end of 1 year becomes everybody's favorite the next year. And that's what he would do. Because last year, he was beating the drum for his program. It's like, all right, guy, pipe down. You guys haven't beaten anybody. When you played Ohio State, you got drubbed. Like, we don't want to hear all this. If he turns around and not only just wins the Big Ten, beats Ohio State in the process, and then takes Indiana to the number one seed and gives them a Heisman Trophy winner, I mean, that would be the craziest turnaround, and everybody would love him because he's doing it the right way.
Yeah, that's the ultimate boast and then follow it up. Denton, enjoy the weekend, brother. Have a good one.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys.
We'll see you, man. Hit that local 53 sounder, please. My guy, that's Michael Phillips' music, Odyssey Richmond, and the Richmonder. Miguel, Jaden Daniels is playing. What do you care about?
I care about Jaden Daniels. I think this is good for him. I think it's good for the team. I think him playing potentially 5 games of NFL football here down the stretch can only benefit his development going forward. I want to watch to see if he protects himself a little better. That's not to say other people don't share some of this burden as well, but I think it's also on him to make responsible choices, and this is a great lab to learn how to make those choices in.
Does how he plays matter to you?
Well, good's better than bad. Certainly, if you're giving me a quiz here with options, I'd rather see him get back to doing the things he does, protecting himself, throwing the ball well, moving when he needs to, calling off the protections. He was so good at working with Biotis to call up those protections last year. You know, he kept himself clean in the second half of most of the games. That hasn't really happened this year, and teams have really been focusing on him running. So I'd love to see him grow and kind of evolve past that. He's got a tough test this weekend. You know this, guys. Vikings defense is very, very good. I don't need a win out of him in the first outing, but I love that we're seeing him play football.
In terms of this defense, listen, part of it is they're playing better. That's obvious, right? But the other part to me, that's kind of the sort of hidden part of it, they didn't stop Miami on the ground. Devin Achane is still running on outside stuff. And they played a couple of mediocre pass offenses. Are we kind of crowning this Dan Quinn calling plays renaissance a bit too soon, or is the market improvement very real?
Yeah, I mean, if you set the bar low enough, you can jump over it. And look, I don't think the bar goes a lot higher this weekend. In this passing attack, you look at what the Seahawks did to them. Now, I'm not saying this defense is as good as that Seahawks defense, but they ripped these guys to shreds last weekend. J.J. McCarthy has not been a world beater. You get to play the games on the schedule. And Dan Quinn strategically timed his move to defensive coordinator very well. I think also there has been improvement. I think anybody who, digs into it and looks at it would say that outside of the opponent, there has been real legitimate improvement as well.
Michael Phillips, Odyssey in Richmond. On offense, we've been waiting to see more from Ben Sinnott at tight end. Is this a week where they work him into the game plan a little bit, or do you think we're maybe still a week or two away because they're still not eliminated from really making him and the guys down the depth chart a priority?
I think winning really matters this week, given the opponent, given their record, given that they may be packing it in and getting ready for that high draft pick push for a quarterback here. I think this is an important one to have, especially because you're not going to get any gimmies in those NFC East games. Obviously, the Giants are trying to prove some things, and the Cowboys are as well. And, of course, the Eagles are going to try to stick it to you. I think this is a real opportunity to win one before that tough stretch. And you saw last week when they needed a winning play, dial up Zach Ertz, dial up Terry McLaurin. Those are the guys they're going to lean on heavily this week. I think winning will be a very high priority, more so than let's see what Ben Sinnott can do.
Oh, I was going to say, over or under half a target for Ben Sinnott in this game?
I'm playing the under if you're asking me right now. You can always end up with one. I asked Treylon Burks. I mean, you can always end up with one and make it count for sure. But I think if they need a third down, they're calling on Zach Ertz as long as he's out there.
How do you think Daniels will play?
I think he'll be fine to good. I think there's going to be rust. I think that's very natural. I think there's going to be a learning curve to getting back at full NFL speed and diagnosing the blitzes and the things they're going to throw at you. I also think fine to good's probably good enough to win this football game. Quarterback win stats are wildly overrated, as you guys, of course, know. I do think that's probably a fair metric to put on this one, though, right? Like, if the defense can keep them in it, hold them to 14 or 17 or whatever the number is, can they get across the finish line? Can he do enough? Everybody feels good. And, a win would be so invigorating for this team to have Jaden back, to have Terry and Noah back, and to get a win. I think that's going to be, especially after a moral victory last week, I think that's the marker we're looking for here.
Miguel, thank you. Enjoy the game.
Hey, enjoy the weekend.
You got it, buddy. Let's talk about that next. What do we want to see or need to see from Jaden Daniels this weekend? You're listening to Grant and Danny. We're out at Kraft House in Reston, live on The Fan.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's what you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
I'm just trying to go out there and play football. No expectations, do whatever it takes to be the best version of myself and ultimately help my team try to win some football games.
That's Jaden Daniels, is on his way back for the Commanders. Welcome back, Grant and Danny. We're at Kraft House in Reston. I want to open up the phones for you at 800-636-1067 because I want to get the temperature of our listening audience on the return of Daniels and what you want to see from him. First thing first is you want him to stay healthy. We all get that. And I guess just to get the ball rolling here and to start the conversation, we can kind of set aside the idea of protecting himself because I think that is a given. You want to see him make good decisions when he is leaving the pocket, running around, when he's a ball carrier, and in the pocket, just protecting himself at a higher rate. I'm not blaming him for the injuries because I really do think
no, not at all.
Football was happening, but honestly, on plays where he hasn't gotten hurt, he's done things to put himself at risk where I think he's been lucky. And on the plays where he has gotten hurt, it feels like just more bad luck, essentially. But the net result is this guy gets hit more than anybody else. So let's start with that, just the protecting of himself.
Yeah, and that to me is the alpha and omega of it. I want adjustments. I want paradigm shifts. I want a complete and total focus on that from everybody in the organization. It starts with him. Because I love the talk of, I'm a football player, and, you know, every day you got to go out to lead your teammates and go into battle and lead, and all that stuff sounds awesome, and it goes a long way towards winning over the admiration of your teammates. That, to me, is secondary to you being available for your teammates. They're better when you play. So he got away with it his first year, quite frankly. Got lucky a few different times. I mean, there were hits where you go, oh, my God, that's terrifying, and he popped right back up. Think of the early games in the season where his helmet was on sideways, against the Falcons where he got his bell rung, the actual injury that happened against Carolina, subsequent hits against Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, otherwise. He was lucky this didn't happen last year. I need lessons learned, adjustments made. That's everybody up and down, but most especially him.
Next thing, and this is more of a football-related thing based on this matchup with the Minnesota Vikings, but I'm really interested to see him against the blitz of Brian Flores. We talked about this at the start of the show, but the Vikings have the highest blitz rate in the NFL and by a wide margin this season. They actually have blitzed 58% of the time since their bye week, 20% more than anybody else. If you look at Marcus Mariota on the season, he has the number 7 completion percentage against the blitz in the NFL this year. Meanwhile, Jaden Daniels has the lowest completion percentage in the NFL against the blitz. And I think that's more of a sample size thing than anything else. I don't think that's like some super discouraging, big picture thing to worry about. Because we saw a larger sample a year earlier with less experience, honestly, and better players around him when Jaden Daniels did a much better job against the blitz. But because of that, color me intrigued. Like, I want the chance for him to improve. If there was something I needed to – there's plenty of things. But if there's something I need to improve on and I can get live reps doing it, that would be of interest. Like, how do I handle it? And that's where I'm at with this. The guy who has struggled against the blitz is facing the team that blitzes the most. If he has a great game against the blitz, that's going to feel really, really encouraging for me moving forward. Whereas if he struggles with it big time and these are the numbers going in, I go, okay, maybe there's something here. Maybe there's something he's not seeing, something he's not reading out. How do his coaches, with DeVita Pritchard now at Stanford, that's David Blau, Cliff Kingsbury, Brian Johnson, and others. How do they help him here? Because there's something not getting through.
Yeah, are there, or are, you know, the alternative, and this is, again, somebody smarter than me watching some film would be able to say, are there answers here? Are there easy answer keys to if this, then that? If you see this, this guy comes from this place, this is going to be open, what are your automated responses? Or, you know, is that not available to him? I think those are instructive things. Like, I remembered watching one of those late night 3 a.m. NFL matchup shows with Ron Jaworski, and, you know, narrating slowly, you know, that whole deal. And one of these offenses, I can't remember who it was, this is years ago, where a blitz comes, nobody's hot, nobody makes any adjustment, the quarterback's going, someone should be here, there's no one here, I got to turtle and take a sack. Is the answer key available? That's an offensive thing. That's a paradigm thing. To help him stay safe, to help him get the ball out on time, to punish some of these blitzes. Because the point of the blitz is, it's obvious, is to pressure and force some sort of action before the quarterback is ready, whether it results in an incompletion, a sack, a pass tipped, an interception, an errant throw, whatever. But if there's a readily, easily available answer, then you tear that blitz apart and you punish teams for doing it.
Here's another thing I'm going to be watching for, and that I would like to see Jaden Daniels do more of. And again, we'll take your calls on this in a moment. 800-636-1067. When you watch Jaden Daniels in Washington against the Vikings, what do you want to see from the second-year quarterback? So I want to see him scramble a lot less. His scramble percentage, and I don't have the updated numbers, this was coming out of the Broncos game going into Denver, so I would have to figure these out now, but this is via NFL Pros Next Gen Stats. Marcus Mariota had scrambled at a rate of about 12% of his dropbacks this season. Do you know what Jaden Daniels' percentage of scrambles were on his dropbacks?
No.
24%. Two times Marcus Mariota's. In the same offense, running some of the same things conceptually, Mariota would either deliver a quick pass and or, you know, move around, reset, throw, essentially twice as much as Daniels, who would just pull the ball down and run. If you want to have this conversation about durability, protecting himself, tackles he's taken, all this stuff, everyone wants to talk about design runs, and that's fine because those are very dictatable. Those are dictated. Those are, like, you could just touch a button and stop doing those. I get that. And you're going to inevitably run as a quarterback, as a scrambler, some, and you can't.
And you should,
And he should. But that isn't that a crazy difference?
That's a huge number.
12% for Mariota, 20%, 24% for Daniels.
Well, I'm not arguing against his proclivity because he did it last year, too.
No, that's, it's literally what he does.
It's literally a thing that he does. The extra thing I would say, though, is against Green Bay, it felt like there were no options available. Right, so I wonder if Mariota had played Green Bay, would his number have gone up versus you play the Raiders or you play some of the teams that Mariota got to play? I think that's like a small portion of that 2X.
That's a game. You know, we're 9 in, right, you know, for each of these guys.
Right, you're talking about a small tick up, but even still, the point stands. The proclivity is clear and obvious.
If
and
my eyes didn't tell
that,
me
exactly,
that his default setting is got to go. Like, that, that's what it is.
And I'm not making an excuse for it. I'm simply offering, like, hey, there's a little bit of nuance to it, but the point is not much. I think that's his thing.
When he's been at his best, whether that's last year or the second half of the Chargers game when he played like last year, what happened was he would get a little pressure, and he would move, continue to keep his eyes downfield, and find somebody. So I want you to think about the Browns play, I think it was, in the first quarter of last season. When he hit like 50-some yarder,
Terry McLaurin
rolling out of the pocket to his right, stopping and throwing. That is the secret sauce. That's what every coordinator, every team, every GM wants when they take a quarterback. Somebody athletic enough, and Daniels is the most athletic, fast enough, and he is the fastest, that can do all those things and then throw the football, make the play. Whereas I think that is like the awesome thing that he does occasionally.
Uh-huh.
I want it to be the default setting. The current default setting is, this isn't right, this isn't right, gotta go, and he takes off, and we're not thinking about throwing. So it doesn't all have to be in one game against Minnesota. I'm talking about five games remaining. I would like to see a 24% scramble rate come down. That's too high. And it's too high for him.
Yep.
Based on his frame, it's too high for any quarterback, especially a guy that can win from the pocket. You shouldn't be scrambling a quarter of the time on dropbacks. That is an outrageously high number.
And it's so hard because, again, there are some times where it's actually – awesome, Like the highlight plays, like, you know, when Justin Herbert beat the Chiefs early this season, the highlight of the game was a third and long where everybody's head was turned because they were in man. They tried to blitz. It got picked up. Herbert scrambles for the first down. Pat Mahomes is a hero as he shuffles like he's got an egg in his tuchus that he can't crack for first downs on huge scrambles. It's not to say you eliminate the scramble. There is absolutely a time and a place. It's the, you know, it's always so hard to quantify when is good, when isn't. Like a third and five to keep the drive alive when maybe you read one or read two isn't there and you got an easy sort of jog towards the sideline, Baker Mayfield, Drake May style. Take your first down. Punish them for being in that defense. Get them out of it next time. But it's the, as you said, it's the default to it that I think is the thing I would go, I'd like to turn that down some because that playmaker gene is in there where you're getting out of trouble, but you can get out of trouble for a big play throwing the football.
All right, what are you adding?
I think we've covered it. I'm not trying to be difficult. Like, to me, I care so much about the organizational, coaching, player, new paradigm of health at all costs for Jaden Daniels. That's kind of the thing that I'm very, very focused on. But the secondary parts of this, dealing with a team that blitzes as much as Minnesota, I would argue or would bet on, is probably planning on doing. I don't think they're going to change their approach because they're playing a guy that's probably pretty rusty that hasn't played a ton this year. I don't think they'll go, yeah, we should probably back off of him. I think they're going to get after him a little bit. That's going to challenge communication with the O-line, with Daniels, and Daniels in the O-line, setting those protections and trying to do everything right and making sure everybody's in the right spot. That sort of supercomputer as you're, you know, dealing with the live bullets for the first time in some time, I think that's instrumental. But to me, that's kind of my list.
I'll give you another one then. If your list is, we've unloaded the clip.
I think I've exhausted my list.
So I'll add to the list then. I want to see him and Terry McLaurin getting on the same page again. It's not even a, you know, the same way that I say I want him to scramble less. I'm putting on there that I want him to, you know, do a couple of other things like face the blitz better because it's areas where he needs to grow. This is not one of those. Mm-hmm. This is just something I want to see as a fan. It's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a
since
minute.
I have seen him and Terry McLaurin making music together. And I want to see Terry out there running routes, getting open, and him and Daniels being in rhythm. Early in the year, because they didn't have training camp, which they should have had, but they didn't.
Ah, yes.
And they didn't have the preseason.
Something happened there.
Which they should have had.
Ah, yes.
But they didn't.
Nope.
Remember, Terry gets wide open in that game against, I think it was the Giants in week one, and Jaden airmails him by like 15 feet, which he never did at any point with him last year when they were in lockstep. Maybe it doesn't happen right away because they just haven't had a lot of time to practice together. But over these next 5 weeks, I want to see them back to being Batman and Robin, kind of thinking for each other. The hand signal, I know what you're thinking. Just look at me. Mm-hmm. Okay, I got you. The quicker those guys can become whatever that tandem was last year again, the better this org's going to be at long term. And I'm excited to see that again. I want to see that Daniels to McLaurin deep ball that they've had zero of this year that they lived with last year.
Just, I'd like to be reminded of what it looks like. I'm into that. Yeah, I mean, those things I think are nice bonuses for me. I'd like to see them too. Like, I guess if on a binary, would I like to see it or not? Of course I would. But if I don't, I'm not going to feel empty inside just yet, as long as I get the things I want to see.
Yeah, I'm not saying I'll feel empty inside if I don't see it. But, I mean, the question is, what do you want to see from Jaden Daniels on Sunday? That's what we want to know. 800-636-1067 is the number. I am also fascinated just with this particular matchup in Minnesota because it would have been easy for them to have waited next week until the Meadowlands and the Giants and really leveled down in competition. The Vikings front was really good last week. And this defense, Danny, played one of its best games of the season.
Yeah.
So you're coming back rusty. Yeah. You're coming back having missed a lot of time. Timing's not going to be there. And you're getting dropped in via this claw machine to go deal with a top 10 defense in the NFL. I think they're 7th in yards per play. And they're pretty dangerous. They're top 5 group getting after the quarterback. It's not that fun of a matchup. So if he comes out and balls, I actually think it's going to be a really big deal just in terms of the proof will be in the pudding on give me a couple players and I'll make some good music for you.
Flip side is what if he doesn't?
Well, then
how much will you hold it against him?
Not a lot, but what does he struggle with? Does he struggle against the blitz? Then I'll say, okay, this year we've had a problem with that. How do we fix that? Mm-hmm. Is his accuracy not there? Okay, this year that has not been quite the same as last year. What's the correction? Is that just a time on task thing? That's what I think. Mm-hmm. He just needs to practice more, play more. I mean, just the context will be there, so we'll be able to sort through things. It's not a problem if he doesn't play well, but I think you can gain more from playing well than he loses if he doesn't, if that makes sense.
Makes perfect sense. And that's exactly how I was going to try to quantify it, where I go, if I let's just say I get a vintage, that sounds funny to say for a second-year player, but I get a vintage Jaden Daniels performance, you know, that like second half against the Chargers or, you know, whatever, once they were down by almost three scores, and then he ripped off everything and they look incredible. If I get that, I'll go, oh, my God, how amazing is this? If I don't, this isn't a sky is falling panic kind of a situation. I'll take it with several grains of salt, I think.
Live from Reston at Kraft House, it's Grant and Danny. We'll take your calls on this next. You can dial us up at 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067. The question is, you're turning on the TV Sunday. The Commanders are playing in Minnesota. Daniel's much-anticipated return. What are you hoping to see from him as he is back in the shotgun for Washington? This is The Fan.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
It was hurting that, like, the first 2 days, but the week after, it wasn't really hurting as much.
Jaden Daniels on his dislocated elbow. Welcome back. Grant and Danny on The Fan. Danny is headed for the exits. He is on his way to George Washington University. He's got an event this evening that he is emceeing out there. Your boy and Toby Altizer kicking it with you out here at Kraft House. Come on out. We're going to be here until 6:30 tonight, getting ready for Week 14 in the NFL season and the Commanders and the Vikings. Looking forward to Jaden Daniels' return. We're talking on the phones right now about what you guys want to see from Daniels in his first start since the injury against Seattle. 800-636-1067 if you want to hop in. I will say, just based on the comment, we just played that audio, Daniels' ability to avoid the serious injury this year has been stunning. For as much as we talk about his durability and him being injury prone or any of these other things that pop up, and I think they're fair after three injuries and all the time that he's missed this season, he has on each occasion been less hurt than was the initial fear, if that makes sense. So against the Packers with the knee, you're thinking, oh, no, is he going to miss a bunch of time? And they were extra careful and very cautious and slowly brought him along methodically, and he misses a couple of games, but he's back. And he was hard charging and pushing to be back sooner than they brought him back. You think about the second injury, which was the hamstring against Dallas. That was quick, and he was back into the lineup. You're wondering, oh, no, what kind of grade was this? How bad is this? Could this be a several-week thing? Nope, he was back out there. And then Seattle, I don't know about you guys, but when he first goes down before the replay, you're thinking, oh, no, he just tore something terribly. Then they show the replay, and you see the arm, and you go, oh, my GBs, he just broke something. It's all over for this season. There's no chance you're watching that replay and thinking he will play again this season, let alone a month later. That's what it's been, 1 month. You're talking about three games in a bye week. You're talking about getting to play in the final five games of the year. If I would have told you right after he went down with how awful that looked, and it was a gross visual in instant replay and high definition on national TV against Seattle on that Sunday night telecast, hey, he's going to be back in the Vikings game, and he's actually going to play five more games this season, you wouldn't have believed me. But to his credit, whether it's those plays this year, I always reference the Atlanta play where he got folded up like a chair and looked like Gumby last year and was popped back up and was completely fine. This guy has had a huge propensity to avoid, to this point, the worst-case scenario. And that might even be a skill. There's a very much a resilience to him. Maybe it's based on his youthful exuberance, I don't know, but some guys have that and some guys don't. Let's go to the phones. Rami's in Falls Church wants to hop in. Rami, what do you want to see from Daniels this weekend?
Hey, how you doing? I want to see him win. I want to see our team back, you know, and I agree with both of you, Grant. 24% scrambling, it's too high. Mariota in the same offense, he doesn't do that. And Danny, you know, emphasizing the run on our play calling, that's no good either. That's putting him at, like, risk for no reason. But you know, I'm reasonable with my family and my finances and my career. I want to be fanatical, because what I think in the end of the day, it doesn't matter. And I feel amazing when we win. Until we're eliminated, it's Super Bowl, baby. You know what I'm saying? I want them to win out. I want the Eagles to lose out. Cowboys suck. They'll take care of themselves. And our team is back. You know what I mean?
I love the energy and the passion, and I hope you get whatever you want. If that's a playoff berth, God bless you. We could use it around these parts. The fans out here today, the people listening, they all want that. I don't know how realistic that is. I think there's a better chance Dallas wins out than that they lose another three games or something. But what's done is done. I mean, the chances of this team making the playoffs analytically right now are 2 or 3%, I think, depending on where you look. They would have to win all of their games. They would have to get a bevy of help. It's all probably not going to happen that way. So I'm not even going to waste time talking about that. But if you're saying you want them to win, you're a fan of the team, no kidding. I think anybody should want them to go out there and play a good football game this weekend. And without diving too deep into the waters that are draft position and should they win or should they lose, here's the goal. Everyone in the building should pull the rope as hard as they can for a victory. And as a fan, when the game's over, if they lose, you should go, that's not that devastating. I'm not going to allow this to affect my week negatively, because it actually is best for business long term. That's how I do it. I can just flip the switch on and off. During the game on a 3rd and 7, you want them to convert. You want them to keep the football. You want them to go get points. When the game ends, they didn't win, so be it. Now they just climbed from 6th in the draft order to 4, and that's going to help them, because either you're taking a great player at 4, ideally, or what I would do is you're going to trade back multiple times over, and the higher you are, the more you're going to get in your trade back. By the way, just looking at the betting line, it has moved again today with Daniels being announced as in. Washington has gone from a 1.5-point dog, I think it was yesterday on the road, to now a 1.5-point favorite. So Daniels worth essentially 3 points in the swing, going from your backup QB Mariota to your starter. The total in the game is up to 43.5 points. But right now, the way that the lines work, I think home field advantage is worth 2 or 2.5 points in some places, generally right around a couple of points. So Daniels is worth more than home field advantage, I guess, is what odds makers are saying. Let's go to Chris in Hyattsville. Chris, it's Grant out here at Craft House Reston. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. I wish I could be out there, but Reston is quite far from where I am. So I enjoy the good food and drink and camaraderie. listen, this is what I want to see from Daniels this game and the rest of the season. The best way for Jaden Daniels to remain upright and healthy is not, you know, preventing the play calling or stopping him from doing what he does best, running. He just needs to get rid of the football. I think he needs to trust his first and second read. They're the first and second read for a reason, typically because that's the spot the coach wants you to throw the ball. I feel like he's just been pressing and trying to look for the big play too often this season. It doesn't help that he didn't get a ton of practice time or play on the field with all of his core receivers. He'll have everybody available this game except for Austin Eckler. From this point forward, I want to see him get rid of the ball. I also want to see him to use more parts of the field. He favors the right side of the field quite a bit, and that's one of the reasons why Terry didn't get the ball as often last season. I want to see him distribute the ball better, and I want to see those two things for the rest of the season.
It's a good call. Thank you. There's something you mentioned I want to get to briefly next, which is on ball distribution, areas of the field targeted. Got an observation on that I want to talk about when we return. So we'll do that. Then we'll spin around the league, go game by game in the NFL, some of the big storylines of the weekend coming up. I do have Bill Bender joining us to talk college football at 5:30. I want to try to figure out University of Virginia versus Duke, what's going to happen in that ACC game, and JMU is still a hopeful to get into the college football playoffs despite losing Bob Chesney this week. We'll ask Bender about that as well. You're locked into Grant and Danny, taking you up to 6:30 on The Fan.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.